In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We celebrate today the third-class feast of St. Aloysius Gonzaga, a great youth, patron of youth, born in 1568, died as a youth, only 23, 24 years old, in 1591. He was born of a noble family, and from his early days, his father, very powerful man, wanted him to be a soldier and even situated him with some training. And during that time, he got to hear some foul language, which he, in his innocence, repeated and later was admonished by his tutor that this was very, very offensive to God. And he lamented it bitterly. And from that time onward, he would really take up penance. And we notice somewhat in the prayers and the readings, especially in Matthew 22, we hear a lot about angels, because his innocence, his purity was angelic. And this is the teaching of the church, that the state of virginity leads one to a state of life that is more similar to angels than to men, because of this direct spousal relationship with Christ. And it panned out both with the purity, with, again, Matthew 22, of the angels in his youth. He would not even look a woman in the face. And also with love of God and love of neighbor. His whole life, St. Charles Borromeo gave him his first communion when he was about 12. By the way, he made a vow of virginity when he was 9 years old. It kind of brings us to think about Our Lady, who kind of ushered this in to the economy of grace by making a vow of virginity, what tradition believes, when she was only 3 years old in the temple. Venerable Mary of Agreda has a nice account of basically a special favor of God. And it seems like God often works this way of kind of making some kind of move on our part and immediately recompense, not always in this way, but Our Lady, a divine favor. And it was an interesting development just before the presence of the Lord. She asked to labor and suffer for God, for love of God. And the move that she, or what moved in her heart, was basically, in all the rewards thereof, give them to somebody else, give them to their servants and friends, because I have not yet begun to labor for you. That's a lot like, and of course, Our Lady is the model of all things, a Marian consecration, when we give our merits and satisfactions for the benefit of others. And Venerable Mary of Agreda kind of capturing that in that moment of Our Lady's oblation. But following upon that, and the quote was something along the lines of, in wanting to secure this favor, that she would be able to labor and suffer for others and to endure for the love of God, that she wanted to make vows of chastity, poverty, obedience, and to remain within the enclosure of the temple for her whole life. And the Lord made known to her that she does not yet know all the developments that were going to be happening. But at that moment, he was pleased to accept from her the vow of chastity, that he did will that. And different church fathers will kind of get into the fact that she did such a thing. St. Gregory of, I believe it was Nyssa, and also St. Augustine. St. Augustine looks especially at Luke 1:34, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And just the consequences of that being in a lot like, I don't smoke, I haven't smoked, I don't smoke now, I don't intend to smoke, pointing to a prior vow of virginity on the part of Our Lady. We could also look at Matthew 1:20-24, when St. Matthew tells us of the Annunciation to St. Joseph, where an angel appeared to St. Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take to you Mary as your wife." And that specific taking that the angel enjoins on St. Joseph is very unique. Nowhere else in sacred scripture does anyone take to wife as St. Joseph is exhorted to take to wife. It's a different verb from any other than any other man in sacred scripture does. So-and-so, Abram takes to wife Sarah. Isaac takes to wife Rebecca. Different verb. a different verb. And so there's a reason for that, and the Holy Spirit seems to have inspired it, because that verb in the Old Testament has an association of kinship. An association of kinship is between, for one, it's never used in a marriage context at all, except in St. Joseph's case. And secondly, it's used in the context of one's family, tribe, nation, kingdom, and usually only between Jews themselves or Gentiles themselves, and kind of never the twain shall meet. So what's it saying here is that St. Joseph is exhorted to by the angel not to be afraid to take to Mary and your wife with the intentionality intrinsic to this verb. That is to say, how are you going to take her to your wife? As kin, or in other words, as brother and sister. Which also points to, we just took a very quick look at Our Lady's vow of perpetual virginity, which she always tended to the most perfect, and consequently those works that are praiseworthy, St. Thomas Aquinas says, are more perfect in the context of a vow under the aspect of religion. We might also consider how St. Joseph, in his justice, he's a just man, revolves around that Our Lady's vow be protected. That is to say, his justice is protecting the vow under this virtue of religion, which is the perfect form of justice, giving the other their due, giving God his due, and defending that. And consequently, the lesson that we can take from that is that defending Our Lady's privileges, defending the integrity of church teachings, we imitate St. Joseph as the just man. And we take up the same cause of justice that he did. But nevertheless, the angel said to St. Joseph, don't be afraid to do this, which indicates that he was intending to do it before the message of the angel, right? I mean, if you're, you know, if you're out playing sports and your buddy says, hey, don't be afraid to, you know, to take up a five iron here, you say, we're playing basketball. I was never intending to take up a five iron. It's got nothing to do with what we're doing. But if he says, you know, don't be afraid to drive the lane when Fra Charles is in the paint, well, that's different. That's what I was thinking of doing, but he's in the paint, so I'm afraid to do it. And so it is here with St. Joseph, that it points to a prior indication of his intention, that he was always intending to paralambano, that's the verb, take Mary as his wife, as kin. And that points to a prior commitment or vow on St. Joseph's part as well. Very important ideas, because of the fact of certainly our Protestant brethren who would at times part from this, but also in the fact of how we're called to imitate as consecrated men. Okay, back to St. Aloysius, who, because of his innocence and his really simplicity of gaze, again, St. Charles Borromeo, his confessor, his director was St. Robert Bellarmine, just surrounded in the Garden of Saints, discerned the Jesuits with the help of Our Lady, basically coming to conclusions. It's a new order. It's in its vigor of its youth. The guy's a very, very fervent missionary. He saw success that the Jesuits had in the Indies and all kinds of positives, but wanting to reassure himself, he took up in prayer before Our Lady. And so it is with vocations that we can think of the importance of Our Lady for clarity of thought. And he was confirmed in his decision and never wavered from it after that. Last point is his revolving around the Blessed Sacrament. And the Eucharist was the orbit of his life. He died within the octave of Corpus Christi, as kind of a seal on that love of God. And so it should be for us as well, that Eucharistic adoration, that was one of Father Manelli's points in his book, Jesus, Our Eucharistic Love, was simply that there was a debate, there was a portrait to be made of St. Aloysius, and how are we going to portray him? And it was decided to portray him in adoration before the altar, because that was the most distinctive characteristic of his sanctity. And so it should be also stamped upon us that our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is this new creation bursting forth in the midst of the old, and is Jesus. And it's really incumbent upon us as we propose Eucharistic adoration to others, it's two basic points. One, do you believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament? Or prior, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Simple as that. If you know who Jesus Christ is, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, you're going to want to be with him. And then the faith in the Blessed Sacrament. So this is something that we need to really propose to the faithful, certainly to our own as Catholics, but also to those that are not in the boat, so to speak. So may St. Aloysius, with his heroic, basically taking care of plague victims, a charity unto death, may he impel us to show the same charity towards our brethren. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.